Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Count Out, the only pro wrestling countdown podcast here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And we're also available wherever fine podcasts are, including iTunes, SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, everywhere. Good podcasts are found, Larson.
We're on Patreon, too, at patreon.com/Steven Larson.
That's right. You can get this postcard right here. I took mine off my microphone because yours fell off.
Yeah, mine fell off.
So I just did that. And we're also where you guys can contribute to the show, support the show.
We can get new postcards.
And in return, get stuff like postcards. Yeah, we should get new postcards, man.
New postcards. Yeah. This one has been up here for months. We're also on ProWrestlingTees.com where you can get this Going In Raw logo shirt. We got other shirts, 5 in total.
That's correct. Looking to expand that collection.
Always. Naturally, yeah. Yes.
All right. So
it's WrestleMania season, Steve.
WrestleMania season. When is this air? This airing this weekend.
Yeah,
so we're
next weekend.
A week away.
From WrestleMania in Orlando. We're going to be there. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited about this. This should be a lot of fun.
It should be a lot of fun. So we're taking this opportunity. What?
I'm going to segue here. I'm hoping this is going to be the best WrestleMania.
So the place on.
The best WrestleMania.
This list we're about to talk about right
ever.
Now.
The best. The 10 top best top-notch WrestleManias.
Yeah.
Ever. We have 10 of them here. Now, keep in mind, this is completely subjective. This is based, some of this is based on our own predilections.
Well, I think a lot of it's based on our own predilections.
Yeah, I know, but we like, sometimes we like quirky stuff. So not everybody's stuff is going to be on here. Number 10.
10.
WrestleMania 14. This was the WrestleMania that got me into pro wrestling. I was watching when I started hanging out with your crew of friends when I assimilated into the collective.
Yes.
You guys watch wrestling.
We did.
And I was like, I'll watch wrestling if it means I have friends.
It was
friends.
Funny, though. By and large, we were all WCW fans.
I know. We would mark out for WCW. We would watch that. And then we started to watch WWF. Mm-hmm. And I remember, here's my thing. I remember, wait a second. I'm trying to remember when I actually saw 14, if I watched it. I don't think I watched it live.
I don't think I watched it live either.
I don't think we watched it live.
Probably watched it on video. When it came out.
Probably.
So several months after the fact.
I think you're probably right about that. I do remember two things, though. I remember being at home and seeing the pre-show, and I remember distinctly being fascinated by The Rock because it was after he took over as leader of the nation.
Yeah.
And I remember watching him deliver that nasty chair shot to Farouk, that unprotected chair shot. And watching him be interviewed was so
captivating,
entertaining.
He was so good.
It was so entertaining. And of course, I've seen this many, many times since then. This was the true, I mean, you can point to any number of things prior to WrestleMania 14 in terms of when did the Attitude Era begin.
Yeah.
You could look at Stone Cold's King of the Ring promo. You could look at the rise of DX.
The Montreal Screwjob.
The Montreal Screwjob, which created Vince McMahon.
Mr. McMahon,
as a character. But really, WrestleMania 14, I guess you can call it its coronation. Like it was really sort of in full force at that point.
It's the moment where they said, okay, this is our direction. We're going 100% in this direction.
Exactly. And so you've got, obviously, the main event. You have Stone Cold, Mike Tyson, and HBK fighting for the world title. The HBK had won it 2 years earlier, and Stone Cold won it with a little bit of help from Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Ended up being his enforcer.
Yes.
And
it was a good match, not probably the five-star match they could have put on if HBK were healthy.
Yeah, he had a fucked up back.
Yeah.
Massively messed up back, which to me, it's funny because, yeah, you're right. It's not a five-star match, but when you watch it, understanding the pain that dude was in.
Oh, it's still fun.
It's fantastic. Yeah,
it
really is.
If you look past HBK grimacing every time he gets up.
I know. It kind of hurts to watch.
Yeah.
Had a fantastic finish where he went for the sweet chin music. Stone Cold grabbed his foot, yelled at him, spun him around, and stunned the shit out of him.
Yep.
That was so much fun to see.
Yeah.
So there was that. There was a number of other matches on here. You had The Rock versus Shamrock for the IC title, and Rock at that point was kind of a cowardly heel because he lost via DQ to Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. He won via DQ because Ken Shamrock just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Then I think he attacked him like on a stretcher or something.
Had the New Age Outlaws against Cactus Jack and Terry Funk.
That's right.
Good match. And then the following night on Raw, after this WrestleMania, is when the New Age Outlaws joined DX during a cage match against Cactus Jack and Terry Funk, reclaiming their tag titles, I believe.
So all the major players from the birth of the Attitude Era, like when they started dominating, because it was about a month later. I thought it was like the Raw after, but apparently it was like a month later when I looked it up on the Wikipedia that WWF finally started beating WCW on a regular basis in the ratings after 80 plus weeks
of losing
to WCW. And so people really started tuning in for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
You know, he was like the perfect face, ended up being the biggest draw in the history of pro wrestling.
Yeah. We should also mention Undertaker versus Kane had their first matchup, one-on-one matchup at WrestleMania 14 after about 8 months of build.
Before, yeah, I know, an 8 month build. That's fucking awesome. You don't see that anymore.
I know.
It's, you know, feud happens, blow off.
I know. I know.
And then a couple rematches. And, you know, obviously we've seen.
Sorry, 6 months. Sorry. Because Bad Blood was in October.
You hear they're bringing back Bad Blood?
I heard they were, and then I also heard they weren't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know.
Controversy.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen Taker Kane a million times since then, but this was the first time they locked horns, and it was a damn good match. Mm-hmm. Two big men who could really, really go.
Yes.
Like, it's funny to look back. It's pretty stunning to go back and look at Undertaker Attitude Era, because he's so quick.
I know.
Kane's so quick.
I was just watching his Hell in a Cell match with Triple H the other night, and he was still really quick.
It's just been, it's been years now of watching him maybe once a year.
Lose a step, pretty much.
Yeah,
every
exactly.
year it's like he just loses a step. Until this year, it seems like it's painful for him to walk. Granted, he has a bad hip. Like
not a step. Step, exactly. We also had, so it was a kind of a weird mix of old and new. So we mentioned New Age Outlaws versus Cactus. I mean, Terry Funk is kind of older. But then we also had LOD 2000, which was WWF's awkward way of rebranding
Legion of Doom,
the Road Warriors, for the new upcoming change of the millennia.
Still 2 years away at that point.
LOD 2000, they just subbed out Paul Ellering and subbed in Sonny as their manager. Because I don't think Paul E was with them at the time. And they fought the new Midnight Express, which was Bart Gunn and Bob Holly.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't remember that either until I looked it up.
Wow.
See, it's funny because I think my memory is crystal clear on this, but then I'm like, I don't remember that at all. Mark Mero with Sable took on Goldust and Marlena. I remember that stuff. And then Triple H versus Owen Hart for the European title. European title was a thing. It was
good match, too.
Yeah, it was a good match. Yeah.
And like when we were trying to make up this list, we had to consider several factors. And we probably should have said this in the intro. It's not only the quality of the card, but you got to consider historical significance.
Oh, big time, yeah.
WrestleMania moments, the huge matches that sometimes one match can define an entire WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So we tried to weigh all of those factors in creating this list. And granted, this one, maybe the card isn't as stacked as some other Manias that may have got left off. But, you know, like the history-making moment of Austin getting that title is undeniable.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to keep it off.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
This is one of your favorite WrestleManias,
This is one of my favorite WrestleManias. I have such a fond memory of it because it did kick off like a new passion of mine. And on top of that, I kind of disagree. Like, I think this is a stacked card right here.
It's a good card.
Yeah, I think it's a good card. Yeah, the Legion of Doom on here with Sonny. Like, that's a great pairing right there. Sonny was hot back in the day, man. She's a little cutie pie. Sable, she was rocking it with Mark. Mark Mero was great.
Mark Mero was great.
Mark Mero. Triple H was Owen Hart. That's a dream match right there.
No, they're all, this is like a good card. That's why it's on the list. If it was an absolute crap card with one good match, it wouldn't belong.
It'd be WrestleMania 2. Number 9.
9.
WrestleMania 12.
This is a WrestleMania that's on here pretty much for one match.
This falls into historical context.
Yes.
However, this match does represent virtually one third of the card.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe even closer to half the card.
Well, about 40%.
Yeah.
35-40%. Yeah. I don't know if it's a full 3-hour card or not. I don't remember.
We should put this on squarely for Warrior versus Triple H.
Oh, for the 1/100th of the card it represented?
Exactly, yeah. That's great. You have to love the shit out of that. You have to love that. You have to love that Triple H in those two DVDs, or in the first, the Rise and Fall of the Ultimate Warrior, or the Destruction, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Triple H runs down Warrior for that match, and the other one, I find it funny people run that match down, because I was great. I had a great time. I was in there with, like, my hero. Get out of here. You're too corporate.
I know.
But anyways, obviously this is HBK Bret Hart Iron Man match.
Went to overtime. Great match.
Thrilling finish.
Yes, and it's not, you know, it's an hour long match, and they can't go full speed the entire match.
There are no two men in the history of the WWE more qualified, physically speaking, athletically speaking, and
In terms of storytelling
and their place within the context of when they came up against each other. Bret Hart and HBK, so diametrically opposed in so many ways,
yep.
Yet both two of the best in-ring performers. Like, we're not huge Bret Hart fans, but I respect the fact that...
Yeah, we
respect
his
legacy.
Yeah, his legacy and his performances he put on.
Absolutely, yeah. He was one of the best ever. And him and HBK both carrying that company, both kind of fighting over who gets to carry the company.
Yeah.
And I think Bret Hart used to get so frustrated with HBK because HBK was his, and he's admitted this, he's his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this dude was tasked with carrying the company. That's a lot of pressure, and a couple times he cracked.
Yeah. But part of it, too, also is HBK was the babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to push him as super babyface.
Yeah.
At the time, that just wasn't Shawn Michaels.
Right.
If they kind of tweaked it where he was a tweener, which granted back in that time, they didn't really do a whole lot. Yeah. And I'm guessing they don't want to end WrestleMania with a heel finally claiming his first world title.
Yeah.
So I get business-wise where they did that, but it just seemed like HBK was miscast as that type of babyface.
Right. It would have been interesting to have been like knee-deep in fandom back then. Because from what I understand, he wasn't like a really, really loved champion. Like there was a lot of people who were
there was backlash against him.
Yeah, there was a backlash. Yeah, exactly. But in terms of this being like the only WrestleMania to feature an Iron Man match, there are not two other guys more perfectly suited for that.
Remember when HBK was on Raw recently? That segment with Roman Reigns. He said, I know what it feels like to be in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, HBK was in that position of being pushed. And the fans kind of backlashed against it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, because even back then he was putting on fantastic matches.
Oh, yeah, he always put on fantastic matches.
And it's kind of interesting to me that anybody would backlash against. I mean, it's just a different state of mind for fans these days. It's like, I don't care how much of a great match you put on, I'm not going to like you because I don't think you should be a babyface.
I know.
So, I don't know. But then, I don't know, I kind of feel that way about Bret Hart. He puts on great matches, but I'm always like, eh. Yeah, I know we waffle on that, but everybody else seems to think he did, so we have to be missing something. Right?
I don't know if we do.
Right?
I think it's more of a stylistic thing because...
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know,
who's a better in-ring performer, Bret Hart or Chris Benoit?
Benoit was a more exciting in-ring performer.
I think he had everything Bret Hart had plus excitement.
Yeah.
I know. He was good. Too bad.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Number eight.
Eight.
WrestleMania 28.
We had some debate about this one.
Yeah, so you had so basically the way most of the time these lists work, you come up with a list, you shoot it to me and say change whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I looked at this list. I saw 26 on here. I was like, okay, wait, whoa, which one was 26? And I looked at the card and I was like, I said, oh, he must mean 28. Because 28 had the end of an era match, which is what we consider...
It's my favorite WrestleMania match ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This had Punk versus Y2J. This had the decent. Good. It had the good Rock versus Cena.
It had the
match.
Better of the two matches. Yes,
right, exactly. But a lot of people love that match. And then here's the thing that I loved about it, though. They put all the crappy wrestlers, with the exception of Booker T, because he's not a crappy wrestler.
Yeah, he's great.
They put them all into one clusterfuck match.
I understand.
So we got all that shit out of the way.
I understand.
It's good.
I understand. But 26 had Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, HBK's retirement match.
Okay, but here's my
which
counter.
Which is a stellar match. I know you say, well, which Undertaker do we like more? Hell in a Cell or that one? We like the Hell in a Cell one more.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And on top of that, it's not just the fact that we like that match more. It's the end of an era match encapsulated everything that came before it with the Undertaker,
HBK. I just watched
HBK.
That match, the Hell in a Cell one. So I'm not entirely sure what the end of the era thing means. We'll get to that because we're going to do an episode in our favorite WrestleMania matches.
Okay,
so I'm just going to
put
that in your head.
No,
so
I like it.
I have some ideas.
I'll think about it.
Because I did some research into why that might be in terms of wrestler schedules, Triple H and Undertaker. So I'm not exactly sure.
Mm.
But anyways.
Okay.
Because there wasn't really closure for anything. But anyways. Also on WrestleMania 26 was Jericho versus Edge. Good stuff.
Yeah, good. I would if you said what would you rather see, Y2J versus Edge or Y2J versus Punk, I would go with Punk. And Punk was champion.
I understand. Well, Jericho was champion this one. Mysterio versus CM Punk.
It's good.
It was good. Triple H and Sheamus. Decent.
Now, hold on a second, buddy.
Hold on a second.
Let me
finish. Money in the Bank ladder match. Those are always
by
fun.
By Sheamus saying decent.
I think they're roughly equal.
Wait, what versus what?
No, the cards. The cards are roughly equal.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying all things being equal. I'd rather have a champion CM Punk. I'd rather have The Rock versus Cena. And I'd rather have End of an Era match. Because End of an Era match has Triple H in it.
I understand. What are you looking up? WrestleMania 26?
28. I'm gonna get, because you're reading off the card there.
Yeah.
I'll read the card off here. Look at this. Tag team match. Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos versus Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres.
It's not helping your cause
that
at all.
That does not help my cause at all.
See, I skipped through all the stuff. Wasn't
for the
helping
Intercontinental
my cause.
Championship match, Big Show versus Cody Rhodes.
That after that match, Dusty told Cody to leave WWF.
Is that WWE. True? Is that what he... Listen up, Cody. Cody.
Or advise them to leave because apparently Cody wasn't getting more opportunities.
This is a bad idea to stick around here. Sheamus defeated Daniel Bryan. You just said, Sheamus
in
Triple
18
H.
Seconds.
Oh, that's right. In 18 seconds for the Royal Heavyweight title. And Kane versus Randy Orton. Kane! Still, look, they're not. Neither one is a great card. We can admit that.
Yeah, we have to. The quality of the show is based on the high points of the card.
Right. I just say if we're gonna, I like that End of an Era is kind of that. It's the end of a four or five year. Build.
You know, I don't remember is that match was right in the middle of the card.
Oh, I know.
Right in the middle. It's so hard for anything to follow that match. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about how important storytelling is, at least to us in terms of wrestling. That's one of the best told stories in the ring I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's so good.
No, I agree. I like after that, they had the filler clusterfuck match.
I know.
Then they had Punk Jericho. That probably should have been. Well, I know, but he's the world champion. And then Rock versus Cena.
Yeah.
Yep.
All good right. Stuff. We can move on now.
Let's see here. Number seven.
Seven.
WrestleMania 3.
So here's a card that's on here primarily for historical importance with the exception of one match, which is actually really stellar.
Yeah.
That is Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, yeah.
For the Intercontinental title. I just watched this, again, not that long ago. And if you put this match next to 80% of the matches that are on today,
mm-hmm.
you'd probably think, okay, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Watch that match in the context of WrestleMania 3,
yeah.
and you'll see how different it is from everything else.
That
match is so fast. They never let up for the 11 or 12 minutes it lasts.
I love it.
It is so fast.
And
they keep going. There's like 19 false finishes, 19 pinfall attempts. It's insane how fast they go.
And what's the info we have about Macho Man?
He wrote out the spots for that match.
Yeah.
That, I think they talked about that in the Macho Man documentary right, that yeah. they actually show his legal pad
yeah.
with all the spots written out.
Yeah.
And apparently, I think Steamboat just used to improv matches.
Yeah.
And so it was strange for him to work a match that was scripted.
Yeah.
You know, down to the beat.
Yeah.
But they pulled that match off flawlessly. Ooh, still a really yeah. fun match to watch.
Oh yeah.
And if going into it, you don't know who won. It's edge of your seat stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And there's a good story building up to it where Macho Man crushes Steamboat's windpipe with the ring bell and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
It's I got to watch it again.
George Animal Steel's involved because that's back when he had his crush on Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
There's also the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff with Slick defeated the Killer Bees, B. Brian Blair, and Jim Brunzel. So this was the match that ignited the fire, the Iron Sheik, against B. Brian Blair. Because if you watch any Iron Sheik shoot interview prior to his resurgence on Twitter, he will run down B. Brian Blair and call him some pretty nasty things. Brian Blair!
This card also featured Honky Tonk Man versus Jake the Snake Roberts.
Who doesn't love that?
And
quintessential 80s wrestlers.
Probably one of the most iconic moments in at least 80s wrestling, if not wrestling ever, is the showdown between Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant in the main event.
Probably, like, the one WrestleMania moment they always point to as like...
That's when wrestling really took off as a mainstream phenomenon because it was in the Pontiac Silverdome with over, you know, the reported attendance was over 90,000 people.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that image, there's two images. There's their stare down to start the match mm-hmm. and then when Hogan body slam Andre.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Followed up with a leg drop and got the win.
Leg drop can fell any man, including the giant Andre the Giant.
But not Sid. Sid kicked out a leg drop. But I mean, like, the storyline leading in this match, and especially the story that continued and followed afterwards, where it was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's when the storylines...
It was a long build.
Yeah.
They only did long builds. There was not a pay-per-view every month.
I mean, it was Hogan winning the match, retaining the title, and then the Saturday Night main event following this, when they had the referee funny business.
Oh yeah,
Dave Andre winning the Earl title Hebner. Gave it to DiBiase, and shortly after that was WrestleMania 4. Mm-hmm. They declared the title vacant and had the tournament all in one night, declare a new champion, mm-hmm. or Macho Man won.
Yeah,
and that was, you know, even from this, a year build.
Yeah,
which they really don't do anymore. And then another year build for Hogan Macho Man at WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, how our attention spans have
withered.
Withered, exactly. Number six.
Six.
WrestleMania 21.
Steve was at WrestleMania 21.
I was there. I have a horrible memory. I don't remember dick about it. I do remember, like, this is a pretty stacked, like, in terms of the talent. This is sort of like on the waning days of all the talent they amassed from WCW and ECW, because that happened in 2001, 2002-ish, 2001. I mean, you know, the number one, it was WrestleMania Goes Hollywood, because it was a Staples Center. And
the video package they had before.
Video the show, packages. Because they were leading up, they would have like a new vignette every week, like a new movie.
They
filmed them perfectly. Mm-hmm. They really did a good job. So you had stuff like, so at WrestleMania, they debuted the Stone Cold in the role of Russell Crowe in Gladiator 1. You had Triple H as a Braveheart, but with Ric Flair's kind of a comedic element to it. You had the entire roster that it wasn't a main eventer doing the taxi driver scene in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking to me, that stuff. Yeah. So that stuff was actually really, really entertaining. You had Cena winning his first world title off JBL. I got a JBL dollar.
Oh, do you still have that?
Money can't... No.
Oh, that's a bummer. That'd look good.
I had it for a while. Yeah.
That'd look good somewhere around here.
I did have it for a while, but I didn't know I'd have a pro wrestling podcast later on in life.
You should think about it.
You're right. I should think about it. And granted, Cena versus JBL wasn't a great match, but it did lead to at least one really good match where they both got very bloody.
Yes.
And Cena was about to murder JBL in the I Quit match.
Yeah, it was a semi-truck exhaust pipe. This card saw Batista win his first world title, defeating Triple H.
Off of Triple H.
Again, not a very good match.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of good matches on this card. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero kicked off the show.
That's right.
Good match. Yeah. Edge winning one of the first Money in the Bank ladder matches. Great match.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Kurt Angle and HBK.
That I even remember. Yeah, that was a fantastic match.
That was an absolutely fantastic match. The finish of that match was brilliant.
Mm-hmm, it really was.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Undertaker and Randy Orton was a good match.
And this is when Randy Orton was at his, like, sort of legend killer best. You know,
this was his post-Evolution breakup, isn't it? Yeah, it is, because that's why Batista and Triple H are in their match.
Okay.
This is after Batista won the Rumble.
I feel like, was Randy Orton going through his legend-killing thing?
That was before this, I think.
That was before all that?
I think so. That's when he kind of first debuted, before he joined up with Evolution, wasn't it?
I want to say that this was, let me see here, background, where's Randy Orton? There he is. Orton representing Raw, Undertaker representing, Legend versus Legend killer match.
Gotcha.
So that's what this is. And this was, so let's see here. This was Undertaker. The streak had been sort of established.
Yeah.
The legend, the title of Legend Killer that they sort of placed on Randy Orton really had me thinking that this might happen.
Yeah.
That Randy Orton might be the young gun to take down the Undertaker. And whenever you can establish that, maybe he'll beat the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, Ken, these days, it's like a toss-up ever since Lesnar happened.
Yeah.
But back then, it was like, well, the streak hasn't been going... at this point, it had been going over 10 years.
Yeah,
14 years. But there was the... I remember thinking there was a possibility.
13, like,
Randy Orton, legend killer. I mean, that's a good setup for him.
Yeah.
There were some good matches there. And I remember I had a good time. Wasn't it like an Austin? There was a Hogan segment was it a Piper's Pit?
Yeah, it was Austin and Piper, wasn't it?
Austin and Piper, and then Carlito came down and he got stunned a bunch of times.
Oh, yes.
And then Piper got stunned.
Yep.
Of course. Oh, goodness. Good times. Let's see here. Number Number five. WrestleMania 18. 2002. Listen, number one, I will never forget. I watched this match at... Fuck, what was that bar called that used to have...
Was it Yankee Doodles?
Yes.
In Canoga Park?
Yes, it was Yankee Doodles. Good memory on you. And so we're there with a bunch of other wrestling marks. And I got chills down my spine watching that crowd's reaction to Rock Hogan. To me, in my eyes, that's the biggest spectacle ever at WrestleMania. Because you literally have the I mean, granted, it's not Austin, but The Rock is right there with Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And we, you know that.
Yeah.
You had The Rock and you have Hogan. Like, the two biggest names of their times.
Yep.
The two wrestling icons. And the crowd, Hogan came in, and it makes me, I've noted this before, it makes me laugh that they brought in Hogan as part of the NWO. But it's Hulk Hogan. And people immediately, when they first came, I'll never forget this, when the NWO first came out to drop a promo, Hall talked, Nash talked, and then as soon as they gave the microphone to Hogan, fans started to really understand Hulk Hogan's in the WWF or WWE, whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was WWF still. And then they started cheering. It was like, okay, at that point, it's Hulk Hogan. There's no NWO. There's no heel. It's Hulk Hogan. He's a fucking face.
Yeah.
And when he went in there with The Rock and the fans just started chanting for both of them, and the looks on the faces of both these guys,
they sold it so well.
And I think it was legit.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, they were in awe that was in awe.
I'm sure it was overwhelming to be a part of that.
It was so overwhelming is the right word. And so this has like it's like a weird dream match. Like, this is right on the heels. This is, I think, the first WrestleMania. Is this the first WrestleMania after, or was that 17? No, it would have been this. This is the first WrestleMania after the purchase.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense, because 2001, it was like summer or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyways. So it's like a weird dream match card. So we have Rock versus Hogan. We have Austin versus the NWO, essentially. It was Austin versus Scott Hall.
Yeah, but Nash was involved, too.
Nash was involved there, which, a lot of people, they point at Rock Hogan. And I know Austin, he has admitted that he was not in the right state of mind. I think he was in the hospital like a day before this because of energy drinks.
No, that was 19. That was before his retirement match.
That was 19. Okay. Yeah. But he was not in a good state of mind. He said he was not happy with his match against Scott Hall.
Well, it wasn't originally supposed to be Austin and Hogan, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't decide on a finish.
They couldn't figure out a finish, yeah. And so, that would have been great. But, I really wish that Austin was in a good state of mind, and I wish that the NWO, this could have been something really special.
Yeah.
Because it's like the flip side to Rock Hogan. It really is. The NWO versus Steve Austin, that's another Monday Night Dream match thing.
Yeah.
So you had that. You had Edge versus Booker T. Kind of on the same level.
Yeah.
And the Edge is kind of, Booker T is kind of their Edge. Undertaker versus Ric Flair. That's a fucking dream match. And
oh, yeah.
That was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic. I never forget when when Arn Anderson ran out and gave the Undertaker a
spine buster.
Yeah. And it was a flawless spine buster.
Yeah.
It was because it was like, I'll never forget. He went running to the ring and hit the ring right as Undertaker naturally was coming off an Irish whip.
Yeah.
And it was so fluid.
And it just was up and down.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
DDP versus Christian.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love that? That's when DDP was doing his motivational speaker thing.
Yeah, he was a European champion then, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he even had Rob Van Dam versus William Regal or Steve. What do they call him? William Regal, right?
William, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't want to see that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of those dream match cards. We're going to have a couple more of those coming up.
Oh, yes.
Number four. WrestleMania 31.
This one's probably higher on the list because we were there.
We were there, man. But also, like, this had one of the most perfect and logical lineups in terms of the match creation. So you had Cena versus Rusev, which were perfectly... your perfect hero versus villain type thing.
For the U.S. title.
For the U.S. title, the United States title. Rusev came out on a tank.
Yeah.
Talk about amazing entrances.
That's hard to top.
So you had that. You had Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. Again, perfectly in symmetry with each other.
You left a match worth talking about off here.
Oh, yeah. I thought I put that one on there. Okay, you're right. Unfortunately, it was Daniel Bryan's last Mania, but yes. It was really
good. The ladder match was good. That was that spot where Luke Harper powerbomb Ambrose through the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
That looked like it hurt.
It looked like it hurt, exactly. Daniel Bryan ended up coming out on top, winning the IC title. That was really cool.
Yep.
You had this absolutely overbooked clusterfuck dream matchup of Sting versus Triple H.
But it was still tons of fun.
It was the most fun on the card. It was fantastic. It was the Monday Night War told in match form. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfect. So well done. Was this the one? This was the Ronda Rousey one, right?
Yes.
So even The Rock, who last year, and let's see, this is 33. So yeah, last year
he set his name on fire.
He set his name on fire and then destroyed Eric Rowan in 6 seconds.
Yeah, buried the year wife before that, Triple H and Stephanie come out and talk about the attendance and stuff. The Rock comes out,
mm-hmm.
talks some trash,
mm-hmm.
and Ronda Rousey sitting ringside brings her in the ring. She puts Steph in a submission hold.
A little long, but it was really fun. Like, Ronda Rousey looks like such a sweetheart. Like, she seems like she was having fun every step of the way.
Yes. Also, we need to talk about Seth Rollins, Randy Orton putting on a good match, and then featuring the most incredible RKO I've probably ever seen to this day.
Off of a curb stomp, which in NXT, I told you I was watching those early NXTs, was called the blackout before.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
It's funny, because he would do it. He wouldn't slam their head. He wouldn't step on their head here. It was like back here.
Yeah.
So it was
And on the main roster, you tried to do it right here in the back of the neck.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it seemed like.
It always looked way cooler from up here. But yeah, no, him and Randy Orton had a fantastic match. Seth Rollins lost, but he was the Money in the Bank guy. And that was one of the few things I think they were talking about it on, I don't want to say Wrestling Observer. No, there was like an article that somebody wrote about it. I don't know who it was. But talking about how they kept that secret. Like, Meltzer did say that it was decided to have Rollins cash in about a week to a week and a half before the actual event. But then I'll never forget the sense of absolute euphoria. Because here's the thing. Reigns and Lesnar, they weren't putting on a bad match.
No, but Reigns was getting booed when mm-hmm. he came out.
Yeah.
Lesnar was getting the face pop.
Yeah.
And the match started, you know, Lesnar was beating the hell out of Reigns. Reigns would slowly, you know, make gains, fall back, make more gains until it seemed like he had the upper hand for a bit. They were both laid out in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody in that arena wanted Reigns, or stadium, wanted Reigns to win, but we all knew Lesnar wasn't keeping that belt because he didn't disappear off TV for a while.
Right.
So we were all, you know, racking our heads, how are they going to get out of this situation?
Yeah.
And as they're all laying in there in the middle of the ring, you hear Seth Rollins' theme song come out, and we're all like, oh,
and dude,
that's the answer.
I have never, at a live wrestling event, felt such euphoria because it's like somebody
injected.
It was kind
of relief. What it was.
Dude, it was equal parts. It was relief. It was excitement. It was euphoria. And on top of that, you're sitting there with how many?
70,000
people. And literally everybody around us, you could just feel everybody mark out.
I know.
And his music was such, it was like that scene in Pulp Fiction where he hits the adrenaline into the heart. It was like, oh my God, this is happening. And then you're freaking out because you're like, oh my God, are they really going to pull the trigger on this? Is it really going to happen?
Never happened before.
We have no idea if it's going to work. And then it did. And he ends up swinging.
I know. You know, there was that moment where there was doubt because Lesnar had Rollins up for an F5.
Yeah.
Reigns spears Lesnar.
Yeah.
Rollins falls off. Curb stomps Reigns, gets mm-hmm. the win.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Oh, man. It was so perfectly executed. And it's a bummer that the WWE doesn't show curb stomps anymore. But I'm pretty sure they left that, like, the actual WrestleMania alone.
Yeah.
They didn't edit it out on WrestleMania. But yeah, it was an absolute blast. I remember my voice was gone the next day.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun. And universally, this is sort of known as, and even like little things like Damian Sandow. Mm-hmm. He was the last man in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, the Battle Royal that year was really good.
It was really good. Big Show ended up winning, which made total sense.
Yeah.
But Damian Sandow was like, man, they actually gave him his due kind of because, you know.
He eliminated The Miz, I believe, from the Battle mm-hmm. Royal.
And people were marking out hard for Damian Sandow. Like, they always did. Number
three.
WrestleMania 19. Now, this is a year after the first Dream Match card.
Yeah.
This is all Dream Match right here.
Yeah.
We have Broken Matt Hardy versus Rey Mysterio. Triple H versus Booker T.
Wait, is this the one in... Oh, sorry. 18's in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait, this one was in Seattle.
No, yeah, 19 was in Seattle.
So you didn't put on here The Undertaker taking on Albert and Big Show in with Limp Bizkit playing while he rode his motorcycle slowly to the ring.
Not sure. While he rode his motorcycle slowly to
the ring? Well, because this show didn't have just a ramp to the ring. They had to do a turn. Because the stage where they came in was must have been in the outfield, and the ring must have been somewhere in like the middle of the infield.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had... literally like a 35 degree turn they had to make their way to the ring. It was a long walk.
Yeah.
So unless Undertaker was going to go like 35 miles an hour down that,
yeah,
it was going to take a little while.
I'm really hoping this year they have to pull out the Lark or the Segway.
Oh, I know.
For the Undertaker. Because I'm hoping, because like at the Royal Rumble, when they had those pictures fans, and Big E was the only one who was like taking advantage of it,
having fun with it. I know.
But let's see here. We had Triple H versus Booker T. We had Y2J. We had Chris Jericho versus HBK.
Great match.
Yeah. We had
Hogan. Hogan versus McMahon in a bloodbath.
That was a freaking bloodbath of a match right there. We had Angle Lesnar in an absolutely fantastic match where Lesnar damn near killed himself.
Yeah.
And we had the final bout. We had Steve Austin's final match against The Rock. And it was such an emotional story that they told in the ring. It was absolutely fantastic.
And it almost never happened.
Yeah.
Because Stone Cold was in the hospital the day before.
Too many energy drinks.
Yep.
And we also had, I mean, just sort of top it off, we had Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. Huge. Great tag team versus Chris Benoit and Rhino, and then the Guerreros.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
really good card.
Yeah, really, really stellar card.
I kind of forget at times how good the Angle Lesnar match was. It's really good.
Kurt Angle's such a fucking good wrestler, dude. Such a great wrestler.
And Lesnar was, you know, he was a collegiate wrestler. He's a really good wrestler.
He wasn't always just the guy who would lumber about smiling
a lot. And suplexing people and turning purple.
And turning purple, yeah, exactly.
He used to be actually a really accomplished wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Number two.
Two.
The WrestleMania 30.
Remember watching this show in your front room out there.
Mm-hmm.
And several times just being on the edge of my seat.
Oh, I know.
Wondering what was going to happen.
I know. So we had, this was the story of Daniel Bryan. The build-up to this was absolutely bizarre in the best way possible, because you literally saw the fans take control of the booking leading into WrestleMania. They wanted, the WWE front office wanted Batista to be their new guy, or not the new guy, but you know, he was going
to
have
the guy
run.
To pop buy rates.
Pop buy rates, exactly. But the fans said, we want Daniel Bryan.
And the lead up to us, as you said, it was, I mean, like CM Punk literally walked out of the company.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I'm not going to wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
This is Daniel Bryan's year.
Mm-hmm.
Walked out.
Yep.
In doing so, in some respect, helped open the door probably for Daniel Bryan to get that main event spot.
Yeah. And they did. They did a brilliant, they listened to the fans.
Yes.
And they gave them. They really did tell an amazing story with Daniel Bryan. I remember one of the Raws beforehand when they had the takeover with all of his fans.
Hopped
into the ring and they took over, and he says, oh, wait, I want a title. I want to fight you at Mania, and if I win, I want to be in the title shot. And they had to give it to him.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you kind of knew. You're like, oh, my God, I think they're actually going to do this.
I know.
And
he and Triple H to open the show put on a
fantastic match.
Fantastic. And after Triple H lost, he started working over Daniel Bryan's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So in the main event, he was wearing shoulder tape.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple. Remember that spot during the main event where Batista and Orton did the double powerbomb RKO thing,
mm-hmm.
and through the table,
mm-hmm.
and one of the monitors was right under Orton when he landed.
Yeah,
and so his lower back hit all monitor.
Fuck.
And this, it wasn't like the monitors they have now.
Oh yeah,
it was the square boxy ones.
Yeah, now they have the curved ones.
And as soon as he hit, he did this.
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised he didn't miss any time.
Sounds like
it could have jacked him up bad.
I know. Of course, this is also, and Daniel Bryan went on to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
In a stellar match, one
of the most euphoric endings.
Iconic WrestleMania moments ever,
absolutely.
Yes.
And I think, like, historically speaking, it's like 30, this is only 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. But historically speaking, 10 years from now, people will still look at this and be like, man. And, you know, with a bit of melancholy because Daniel Bryan...
It's a short time after this that he had to vacate the title because of a neck injury, yeah.
Did he even make it to another pay-per-view after this?
I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
and then... I think it's a matter of a couple of weeks because he started a feud with Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then he took a long time off and...
came back shortly before WrestleMania 31, won that title, and a month or two after that was done.
Boy, that's a fucking drag.
Mm-hmm.
We also had probably in the biggest story coming out of that.
One of the most controversial finishes in the history of WWE, if not wrestling.
Brock Lesnar ending Undertaker's streak.
We were sitting out there. I was eating some chips.
Yeah.
And that happened, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
I know.
I can't believe they did that.
It was a jaw-dropping
moment. I think we both just kind of did this, like,
yeah, I know.
They really just do that?
I think the first thing in my head was, they fuck up?
Yeah.
I honestly, I was like, that was a fuck up.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. But then you see Lesnar smiling and laughing and Paul Heyman selling
acting shocked,
it,
I know.
You
know,
acting
yeah.
like so overboard. It's like, oh my God, they really pulled the trigger on this.
And the match itself wasn't that great. We would learn later on that Undertaker suffered a concussion early on this match.
Yeah, right.
Which, you know, probably compromised the quality of the match somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But hats off for Undertaker for... putting on the show nonetheless.
Mm-hmm,
you
yeah,
can tell when you, walking back to the up the ramp backstage that his bell had been rung.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He didn't look like he was quite all there.
And then there was that footage of him, like, what was it, leaving? No, Vince rode back with him to the hospital, but then there's footage, I think, like 2 days later, a day later, of him leaving his hotel room, and he just looked like he was getting in the car.
Yeah.
And he just looked like he was...
There's stills of him and Sting at the... Oh, that was WrestleMania 31, sorry. At the airport.
Oh, the airport, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm good, Mark. I'm good. I'm in the grace of Jesus.
Bray Wyatt took on John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
A really good story told in this match.
Yeah, it would have
been an excellent story if Bray had picked up the win.
I know. I like that that Cena sort of has made Bray Wyatt pay his dues, and then he's selling him like fucking crazy. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll eat a Sister Abigail and really sell it.
I know. But if he had taken a loss here...
Uh-huh.
Wyatt would have been huge.
Oh, I know.
So soon.
I know.
Because that was a really... Especially if they had kind of followed through in the story they were telling, where the whole time during this match, Wyatt was trying to get Cena to act out of character.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And either have Cena do that, show some vulnerability in his armor,
mm-hmm.
or have him unwilling to do that and have it end up costing him the match.
Well, that's what it needed for him to win. But I guess if they're telling the story of Cena... I mean, you know, we always root for the more interesting characters.
Yeah.
And we want our heroes to go through the ringer.
Yeah.
But if they want to keep it, you know, they kept it simple.
I know.
And that's usually...
And Bray picked up a win, I think, their next match, next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did get a win, but
yeah,
on such a huge stage, he would have made a huge star out of Bray right away.
Absolutely.
Right away.
He's a world champion now. So
I know.
For now.
For now.
We also had The Shield, which was this their first WrestleMania?
Think so.
Maybe. They took on the New Age Outlaws. There's a blast from the past.
No, they were at WrestleMania 29.
Okay. All right.
They were.
All right. But yeah, we had the Shield versus New Age Outlaws. I mean, you know.
Isn't this like a squash match pretty much?
Yeah, I think so.
They beat him in short order, I think.
Yeah.
Like that a matter of minutes.
Right. That sounds right.
Now I want to find out how long it was. Because it wasn't that long.
It was... It was less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, squash match.
By far the shortest match on the card. Oh, yeah, and Cesaro won the first Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yep.
He eliminated the Big Show last.
Oh, yeah. Looked like it was like a deadlift body slam and dumped him on top.
Oh, yeah,
that?
That's right. God, he's so strong. So, yeah, WrestleMania 30.
Good show.
Number one.
One.
WrestleMania 17. Now, we kick this off at number 10 with 14. 17 is often sort of seen as the official end to the Attitude Era because it wasn't long after this that the WWE bought WCW, effectively ending the Monday Night War, and they started bringing in all that talent. And then you start to enter into, like, a couple of years later, maybe about a year later, you enter into the Ruthless Aggression Era.
Yeah.
So this was, and this gave us. The main event saw Stone Cold turning heel to beat The Rock, aligning with Mr. McMahon,
yeah.
which then in turn sort of sunk things down lower. But this pay-per-view itself
was... Well, that match itself up until that turn was fantastic.
Was amazing. Was really, fantastic. Really fantastic. Yeah. But it's a stacked card. It had Triple H versus The Undertaker.
Their first meeting at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. It had the TLC match.
Great match.
Hardys, Dudleys, and Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
Shane versus Vince in a street fight.
Oh, Mick Foley was special guest referee, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. That alone.
How come that wasn't the main event? Could have been.
It would have been.
Two years later.
What was this, 2001? Yeah, 2 years later. Yeah. There was a hardcore championship match. Kane versus Raven versus Big Show.
Raven lost. It was only one of his 37 reigns as hardcore champion.
That's probably not a good... That's probably not like the match to point to say this is number one.
Oh, okay. Chris Jericho took on William Regal.
Who doesn't want to see that? But mainly, I think this is like, you know... Pretty much every match on this card was a good match.
Yeah.
It was a good match.
And the main event was fantastic.
Despite
the turn.
Yeah.
The head-scratching turn at the end.
Yeah.
Was fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. And this is sort of, you know, the way to usher in a new era after 4 years of really good things.
Yes. You know? And this led to more years of kind of good things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyways, that's it. Let us know what you guys think and what your favorite WrestleManias were. We should have put 10 on here. I still think we should have put 10 on here.
We'll put it on the other
because list. It's so bad, it's good.
No, but the thing about 10 is that the highs are very high and the lows are very low.
I know. And
there's really no middle ground on
10. It's all bad and funny. Where does it bad and funny? Should bad and funny go on a great list or on a worst list?
Yes.
Yes, I agree too. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.